Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
In the process, through the storms and through the shipwreck and through being stranded on the island of Malta, again, as you read the story, what do you see happening? You see through all of these difficulties, through all of these catastrophic things that Paul is encountering, you see that God is working and God is using him and God is ministering to people that Paul didn't even know existed.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 15, verses 23 through 33, in a message titled, God Has a Plan. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So, in a sense, we see that his prayer wasn't answered, but in another sense, it was. Because they never were able to do what they ultimately were seeking to do, and that was to kill him. But as far as not having any trouble, not having any difficulty, not having any conflict or clash with the unbelievers there in Judea, of course, he had plenty of problems there. So you see, as we think about this, and this is what I want to kind of zero in on tonight, is that even as we pray, and as we seek the Lord for guidance, and as we express to God, you know, our desire and, you know, what we believe to be his will and how we would love to see him work in the situation, of course, the Lord hears us. But the other part of it is God's going to do things the way he decides they're going to be done rather than the way we think he ought to do them. He's going to give us a sense of the, you know, the bigger picture, but he's going to reserve the details of it for himself. And that's what we see in this. So when you think about this particular prayer, this first one here, you ask the question, well, was his prayer answered? And the answer to the question is no and yes. On the one hand, no, it wasn't answered because those were wicked, unreasonable, unbelieving, ungodly men who apprehended him and put him through this whole process and tried to destroy him and, you know, were relentless about it. But yes, his prayer was answered in that the Lord did ultimately deliver him and they were never able to do what they had hoped to do. They were never able to destroy Paul. God preserved him, but not the way that Paul had thought that he might or even had hoped that he might. And this is something that we, I think, all of us have to understand that, you know, God has a plan, and God is sovereign. When we say God is sovereign, what we're basically saying is that God is in absolute control of everything. And he's doing things that we just don't understand. And because we don't understand it, we would never do things the way he does them. But you find out in the end that what he does right. I was thinking about this, just, you know, we cannot at all, even remotely, comprehend the greatness of God. We can't. It's impossible. All that we can see, all that there is in the observable universe, listen, was spoken into existence by him. Everything from the most microscopic particle to the largest body of matter in the universe, everything was spoken into existence by him. The universe is so vast, nobody knows the size of it. But yet, we're told that God is the one who holds it all together. And the reality is this: God is so great. He's so far beyond our ability to even remotely comprehend him. And because that's the case, we have to realize he's going to do things way different than we think. And whenever we think, well, Lord, I think my idea was better than yours. Or God, what do you mean this is the plan? This plan doesn't make any sense. Well, it might not make sense to me because I don't know much. But it makes perfect sense to him because he knows everything. And what am I saying in all this? I'm saying this. When we've done all that we can do, yielded to the Lord, given ourselves to him, sought him, prayed, asked him, requested that he do things for us. When we've done all of that, we have to just sort of step back and say, okay, Lord, do what you will do. You know, I find this struggle in prayer a lot of times because I have some really great ideas, I think. I do. I think some of my ideas they're just fantastic. And I will share them frequently with the Lord. And yet I know enough to put an addendum at the end of each of those requests. Well, Lord, if you got a better way to do it, then of course I defer back to you. Because he probably does have a way better way to do it. But there's times I just think, oh, this is it. Oh, this would be perfect. Well, Lord, just this could just... But he doesn't do it that way. But then here's the wonderful thing. When he does what he does, we look at it and we say, wow, I would have never dreamed of that. I would have never thought of that. I would have never imagined that that would have been the way to do it. But of course that was the way to do it. And Paul obviously understood this completely. He never, at any point afterward, when it was all said and done, looked back and said, wow, the Lord really messed everything up. You know, we prayed for this specifically, and look what happened. But you see, again, what we know at best will be dim in comparison with what the reality is. So we have to be flexible enough to just say, okay, like Paul, okay, I know I'm supposed to go to Rome. This was the Spirit testifying that was, and the Lord did appear to Paul. Because after all of this happened, he was discouraged. And the Lord appeared to him and said, Paul, don't be discouraged. As you testified for me in Jerusalem, you will testify for me in Rome. You're going to get to Rome. Things in Jerusalem didn't go the way that you had hoped, but it's okay. I'm working. I've got a plan. And so the Lord both didn't and did answer that first prayer.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
But you see, by not answering it the way Paul requested, look what happened. Look at how many more people Paul got to preach the gospel to. Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem and just have a nice kind of a break. you know, just go up, meet with the church, bring the offering. Hallelujah. Great time. All right, brothers, I'm heading to Rome now. It's been good seeing you. And hopefully we'll see you again. That's what Paul wanted to do. And understandably, that's what I'd want to do too. But the Lord's like, oh, no, no. I got work for you to do in Jerusalem, Paul. So I'm going to get you to Rome, but in Jerusalem, I'm going to let some of the unbelievers hassle you a bit. But in letting them do that, I'm going to give you opportunities that you would not otherwise have. And what happened during that time, if you think about it? Paul gets to testify to the gospel before the key political figures of the day in that region of the world. He stands before, of course, initially the captain there, Lysias was his name. And he gives a testimony there. And then he testifies to the whole of the Sanhedrin and that the body of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He preaches the gospel to all of his former colleagues. And then he stands before Festus and then before Felix. And then he gives that amazing witness before King Agrippa, where he says to, where Agrippa at one point says, Paul, you're almost persuading me to be a Christian. And Paul says, oh, Agrippa, I would love nothing more than for you to be a Christian. So you see, God had a bit of a different plan. So the prayer was answered in that their desire to kill Paul was thwarted by the Lord. Every effort of theirs to destroy him, which was their ultimate intention, was thwarted by the Lord. But these other inconveniences and difficulties and challenges, the Lord allowed those things to happen, but through those, he brought about this great opportunity for Paul to do exactly what Jesus told him he would do when he had first apprehended him. He told him that I'm sending you to the Gentiles to preach the gospel, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And he did that, as he would later say, he testified to both small and great. And during that season there, in Jerusalem initially, where he's arrested and then taken down to Caesarea, where he's incarcerated for that period of time. During that whole period, which was a few years, Paul had unimaginable ministry opportunity. Now, the other prayer, the prayer was in regard to coming to them in Rome, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now, I have no doubt at all that Paul came to them in joy. We know he did, because when he finally gets to Rome, it says as they arrived there at the Appian Way, Paul took heart. He rejoiced. We've made it. But the journey was considerably different than I think Paul had in mind when he was asking for prayer. No doubt, like every one of us, what was he praying for? Lord, I pray for a smooth trip to Rome. I pray for smooth sailing. It's about a 1,500-mile journey that he would take by ship. And so in Paul's mind, when he's praying, you know, or when he's asking them, hey, pray for me about this stuff, delivered from unreasonable and wicked men in Judea, and pray for me that I can come to you with joy by the will of God. You know, he's basically praying the same kind of things that we all pray. But again, was his prayer answered? Yes, it was. But it wasn't answered in the way that he thought. He wanted to go to Rome. He prayed to get to Rome. He had a conviction that Rome was his destiny. But I don't think for one moment he ever thought that he was going to get there the way he did. And the things that happened on the way there. All of the different things, beginning with the arrest in Jerusalem, which really was God's way of getting him to Rome and having the Roman government pay for it. Because Paul's standing before Festus, and you know the king's saying, look, you need to go to Jerusalem, and we need to meet your accusers up there. And Paul's saying, I'm not going up there. They've been trying to kill me. They're going to try to kill me again. Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. I've done nothing wrong, but I'm not going back to Jerusalem. I stand before Caesar. He was a Roman citizen, so he could do that. And he says, all right. He says, all right, to Caesar you appealed, to Caesar you shall go. So there was it. That was the ticket. You're going to Rome, and we're going to pay for you to get there. We're going to put you on a ship. And that's exactly what they did. And Paul boarded that ship. And then that ship sailed, took off, and went to the island of Cyprus. And they were thinking, should they set sail or should they wait and winter there? The harbor wasn't suitable to winter. Paul says, you know, I don't think we should sail. I don't feel good about it. I think, you know, he had a sense that it wasn't going to be good. But the owner of the ship and the centurion, they didn't listen to him, and they set sail anyway. And as you read the story there, what happened, they were lost at sea and the ship ended up running aground, and they were all cast up on this island. And, you know, after being stranded there for some months, they finally board another ship, and they finally make their way to Rome. We don't need to go through all the details of that there. But again, it wasn't in the timing that Paul had imagined, nor was it in the way that Paul had imagined. But he did indeed get exactly where the Lord wanted him to be. But again, in the process, through the storms and through the shipwreck and through being stranded on the island of Malta, again, as you read the story, what do you see happening? You see through all of these difficulties, through all of these catastrophic things that Paul is encountering, you see that God is working and God is using him and God is ministering to people that Paul didn't even know existed. He's getting to share the gospel, which was his great ambition, right? That was his passion. That was his calling. And through the delays and through the catastrophes and all of these things, the Lord's using all of these things to give Paul ministry opportunities for doors to be opened. For the 275 people on the ship to be looking to Paul and for him to be able to say, don't be afraid. The ship is going to sink, but we're all going to be safe because an angel stood before me this night and encouraged me and told me that he's given me all of you. You're all going to be safe. We're going to run aground. The ship is going to go down, but it's going to be okay. And then Paul encourages him, take heart, eat something. And then he gives thanks and he prays. And they come to the island of Malta. And the chief man on the island is sick. And Paul has an opportunity to go and to minister to him. And this leads to an open door for the gospel amongst the people of Malta. So, you see, this is the simple point. God is in control. And he is working out things in ways that we just sometimes can't figure out. And there's a point where we have to stop trying to figure it out and just accept it and say, okay, Because if we go too long in trying to figure it out, we can do damage to ourselves spiritually. We can become disheartened. We can despair. Well, I just can't see how this is ever going to work out. Well, no, you can't see it. Of course you can't. Because what we can see is so limited. But God can see it all. And as he's put that thing in your heart, as he's given you that sense of conviction and that sense of destiny, if you will, that, you know, this is where it's headed, don't let go of that just because the circumstances seem to be saying something else. Because you can be absolutely certain there were plenty of times during this whole experience here where it didn't seem like Paul was ever going to make it to his destination. There were plenty of times where it didn't seem that way, but Paul had to just continue to hold on by faith. And at that point there on the ship, you know, where he stands up, this is such a brilliant moment because he says, as everybody's in absolute dread of dying at sea, as Paul, you know, tells him about the angel of the God I serve stood before me and told me, you know, that he's given me the crew and all of that. And then Paul says these words. He just says, I believe it. I believe that it will be just as it was told to me. And you see, that's what we hang on to. I believe that it will be just as it was told to me. Can we have faith like that today? Or is that only for apostles? Is that only for prophets? Is that only for kings and men of God, and women of God in days gone by? No, it's for us today. There's no difference between us and them. We're the ones doing in our generation what they were doing in their generation. There's no other elite group around anywhere. We're it. Believers, Christian people, followers of Jesus. We're the ones who God is calling. We're the ones who God is using. We're the ones who God is giving promises to. We are the ones that God has a destiny for. And he's spoken into our lives and he's told us things. And the circumstances so often are contradicting everything we believe the Lord told us. And the details are so messed up, we can never see how it could ever sort itself out. But we've got to do what Paul did. We've got to just stand firm in faith and say, you know what? I believe that it will be just as it was told to me.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, in the studio as they talk about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
So, Brian, there's something new out, but I guess it's older, but to me it's new. It's Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. So it's my dad in these different places in Israel, and in it he's sharing from Mount Carmel, Joppa, Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, Caesarea Philippi, Megiddo, Beth Shan, Gideon Spring, and other places. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be talking about the covenant God made with Israel, some of the Bible stories.
Yep.
What a neat DVD to have.
Yeah. And of course, your dad loved Israel.
Absolutely
and,
loved it.
Traveling to Israel with your dad was really a joy because he loved the country so much. And of course, his knowledge of scripture. And I remember one time sitting there at the Mount of Beatitudes, and he preached the whole Sermon on the Mount. And I remember it was riveting, you know, right there with the Sea of Galilee in the background. Of course, we love Israel. We take annual trips to Israel. But for those that love Israel and love Pastor Chuck's teaching, Israel on Location is the DVD, and that's our monthly offer. And we encourage you to get your copy.
And it's great. Some people can't afford to right. get to Israel. And here's a way to get to Israel for a lot less money with Chuck Smith.
Yep.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order this DVD collection titled Israel on Location with Chuck Smith by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of this DVD set, Israel on Location. Then click the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this DVD collection of Pastor Chuck touring Israel and teaching about the richness of the Hebrew culture of 14 different Israel sites. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.